She's the media maven with her finger on the pulse of the heartbeat of Chicago. If it's happening in the Windy City, she's got you covered. Now here's the lady that puts the fun in fundraising, Candid Candace Jordan.
Well, welcome everybody to another fabulous podcast on this wonderful Friday. It's like 80 degrees outside. We're all sunbathing. Wait another day and it'll be a 30 degrees below zero. But here we are, right, John St. Augustine?
You sound just like Skilling. You know, well, Candace, one day it's hot, the next day it's cold. There's your weather.
There you go. Well, everybody knows you, John. You're my producer. You're my co-host. You're a dear friend. I mean, God, you serve every purpose, thank goodness. And so I'm so glad to have you here on this wonderful day.
Always good to be with you.
Thank you. And, you know, I told you before that we got started that, I mean, the city has been on fire with events. I mean, I have been busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
Wow.
And it's been wonderful. And I'm thrilled to share all this fun with everybody today. But before we get to that stuff, we have somebody on that is a very dear friend of mine, and she happens to be a sitting Supreme Court judge, Illinois Supreme Court judge. And I was introduced to her by another dear friend, Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas. And I don't normally, you know, promote politicians and, you know, share my thoughts on voting, but this woman has got my vote in spades. I mean, she's well, we're going to talk to her, and we're going to find out why I just said that, because I think you'll be very impressed. Please welcome Justice Joy Cunningham to the show.
Hi, Candace, and thank you so much for having me on.
Well, goodness, thank you so much. Listen, speaking of busy, I know you've been busier, too, with all your visits and appointments and appearances, and how's all that going? And I know you're looking to be retained on the court, so this is why I wanted to have you on, so everybody could get to know you better. But tell me, where you been lately? I just saw you recently somewhere.
Oh, I've been everywhere. It's hard to pin down exactly where I've been. I've been everywhere, and I do a lot of speaking in schools even before I was campaigning to keep my seat. So I'm everywhere, mm-hmm. And it's been a really, really busy year, and the last week has been even more busy. The election is 39 days away, so time is speeding up, and my busyness is speeding up.
Well, we want to make sure that everybody knows that the voting is March 19th, right?
That's the day of the election, the primary election, but early voting actually starts on February 15th, so next week, early voting will begin.
Oh, goodness.
In Cook County, yeah.
All right, everybody.
There are several locations around the county where you can vote early.
Good. Well, I'm going to vote early and often if I can. So, but I want to give everybody just a little backstory on, you were appointed to the bench by the Supreme Court to replace then-retiring Justice Ann Burke in December of 2022 and to sit through the remainder of Ann's term. Her term expires in 2024, so you're running to retain this position. Tell me, what initially inspired you to pursue a career in law? Because you're a lawyer. I mean, you do so much. And how did you eventually decide to become a judge?
Well, you know, it wasn't an aha moment. It was more of an evolution. Mm-hmm. And, you know, surprisingly, most people are surprised to hear this, but I was actually a registered nurse before I became a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And I have my undergraduate degree is in nursing, and I worked as a critical care nurse to put myself through law school. And during that time, I did a lot of volunteering. I'm from a family where volunteering and education were always really big values in my family. So I, over a period of time, I just wondered, what could I do that's really fulfilling for me? Because I think I became a nurse at a time when I wasn't really sure what my major should be. And it was one of those things where I may not have really settled on that as being my life's work. But over time, it became clear to me that I wanted to be a lawyer. And I can't say exactly when it happened. It just evolved. So I went to law school. And I was already a nurse, so I was able to work while I went to law school and helped me to avoid having a really big crushing debt when I was done.
Mm-hmm. And you served as a general counsel for Northwestern Memorial Healthcare too, right?
I did. I've had a very non-linear but but very interesting legal career. I started out as an assistant attorney general in the office of the attorney general, where I was the first person of color in the civil division of the attorney general's office. I then worked for Justice Glenn Johnson as a law clerk, and he was the first African-American to sit on the Illinois Appellate Court. So, you know, when I came back to the court 25 years later as a justice, it was really like coming full circle for me. But in between that, yes, you're correct, I was senior vice president and general counsel for the Northwestern Memorial Healthcare System, which includes the hospital and several other corporations.
Oh boy, you're busy. You are so busy. Well, let me get to the quick of things. What do you think are the biggest issues voters are facing on the ballot this coming primary?
Well, I think that it's really important for voters to educate themselves. State Supreme Courts have become so much more important than they used to be, and Illinois is even more so because of the choice issue. As you know, in recent times, many issues, legal issues that we thought were settled law, all of a sudden they're not. So all of these issues are now being put before state Supreme Courts, and reproductive rights is at the top of the list because Illinois is pretty much an oasis in a desert of red states. So Illinois has enshrined reproductive rights in a statute, and all the states around us have not done that. So we find that lots of people are coming to Illinois from other states and so on. So that's just one example. But issues, constitutional issues, are really, really important. And in our state, I think we're fortunate to have progressive leadership. And our court is pretty progressive as well in terms of interpreting the Illinois Constitution. So again, Illinois is really an oasis in a desert of red states. But in my mind, to my mind, educating yourself about who sits on your courts, as I said, state Supreme Courts are so important. Therefore, who sits on those courts are now much more important than they used to be.
Right, exactly. What do you consider to be your greatest strength as a Supreme Court justice?
Well, I think my diverse background. You know, when I was appointed, I sat on the Illinois Appellate Court for 16 years before the Supreme Court tapped me to succeed Ann Berg. And I think the Supreme Court justices, they understand the type of experience, the type and depth of experience it takes to do the job. So when they looked at all 24 appellate court justices and selected me, I felt a real obligation to hold up my end of the bargain. It takes a lot of experience, takes patience, and it really takes understanding the law. I feel like the Supreme Court is the gatekeeper for our democracy in this state. And I've served at all three levels of the court system. I've been a trial court judge, I've been a Supreme Court justice, and I was on the appellate court before I joined the Supreme Court. And before I came to the court, I had a variety of legal experience, both inside and outside, both in the public sector and in the private sector. And I've been a Bar Association president. So I've had a lot of non-linear experience that really, really helps me in my responsibilities as a Supreme Court justice.
Well, with all that busyness, Joy, where do you find time to relax and what do you do to recharge?
Well, I like to read. I am also a skier. I like to ski. This year, we have not been skiing this year because I've been busy with my campaign. But I'm a reader. I'm a skier. I'm a cook. I like to cook. I'm a gourmet cook. I like to try different things.
Oh, and, goodness.
And I'm a hiker. And I'm a runner.
Wow. Well, okay. Now you're really putting me to shame. Now I feel like a slug. Let me ask you, can you share a significant personal experience or challenge that has shaped your approach to serving as a Supreme Court justice?
Yes. You know, when I was an appellate court judge, I had a case, and this is a personal experience because it highlighted for me the importance of what we're doing as judges.
Right.
I had a case in which the defendant wanted to have a post-conviction petition heard. Now, the law allows you to have only one such petition unless it's in really extraordinary circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so the trial court had given him his one chance. He came back with a second petition, and he was claiming actual innocence. Now, the lawyers who are listening will understand that that is a very, very high standard to reach. But when I read the petition, I really felt that he was entitled to his day in court because mm-hmm. he, in my view, he met the threshold. In the appellate court, things are heard in panels of three. I was the dissenting voice because my colleagues felt that he had not met the threshold. I was able to convince one of the other justices that, yeah, this guy deserves his day in court. And that, so I was able to get somebody else to switch to my side.
Oh, wow.
So we granted, but the story doesn't end there. It gets better.
Several
years later, and we sent it back to the trial court. I never knew what happened to it after that. Several mm-hmm. years later, the director of the Innocence Project at Northwestern called me and said, this professor's name is Jeff Erdangen. He called me and said, I have a client who would like to meet you. And he explained that this was the defendant who 2 years before I had given an opportunity to go back to the trial court and have his case heard. And he was in fact issued a certificate of innocence by the trial court, which means he had been wrongly convicted.
Oh,
and
wow.
Those lawyers who are listening to this will know that that is a very high standard to meet. So that means that I was instrumental in having somebody set free who was wrongfully convicted in the first place.
Oh,
Illinois
wow.
has the distinction of having had at least 13 people on death row who were later exonerated. So when I heard this and this professor called and asked whether I would meet with this young man. He wanted to meet the judge who I wrote the majority opinion that gave him the opportunity to go back to the trial court and allowed him to put his case before the court. It really highlighted for me that what we're doing is not just an exercise in something philosophical. We're really dealing with people's lives.
Right.
And I always felt that this was important, but ever since that, to me, the work that I'm doing really is very real, very meaningful, and it impacts people's lives. So, you know, I always think of that as one of my more shining moments as a judge.
Oh, wow. I'll say that's an incredible story, Joy. Wow. Well, you certainly are a damn good lawyer. That certainly shows that. Let me ask you another question. Obviously, you've had mentors and people who've influenced you in your career. Who have been some of the biggest influences on your career and why?
Well, Justice Johnson, who gave me an opportunity to be his law clerk. He was the first African-American justice on the Illinois Appellate Court, and he opened a lot of doors for me. So mm-hmm. he gave me an opportunity that I may not otherwise have had. Mm-hmm. And Al Tisdall, who was the partner in the law firm that hired me when I was the first person of color in that firm. I've had a lot of firsts like that. And my goal is always to make sure I'm not the last. So I've got to do a really good job when I go to these places. Al Tisdall really taught me how to be a lawyer, how to try cases, how to be a trial lawyer. And so he was one of my, I think, most effective mentors. And Gary Mecklenburg, who was the CEO of Northwestern, who recruited me to be their senior VP and general counsel, he essentially was one of the most influential people in my career development. Although he wasn't a lawyer, He mm-hmm. taught me how to navigate the business world. And that's one of the things I bring to the Supreme Court. I'm the only judge up there who's had any business experience. And that's something I think is really, really important.
Yep, that is very important. Boy, I wish I'd have had some business experience. I'm telling you that you're lucky to know that. You know, you mentioned earlier that you've had many firsts in your career, and I mean they were extraordinary firsts, and you've opened doors for women and people of color along the way. What advice do you have for young women and people of color looking to take our society into the future? What advice would you offer?
I always say to young lawyers, pay close attention to every single career activity or opportunity that you have now, because it's preparing you for something later. You just don't know what it is at that moment. And then I give them examples. When I was younger, actually in two separate places, when I was Associate General Counsel at Loyola and then again at Northwestern, I established two separate captive insurance companies. Now, anybody who knows about insurance law know that it's the most boring thing in the world, but it's also very complicated. And as a result of that, when I joined the appellate court years later, I was the resident insurance expert in my division because I knew all about insurance law because I had established from scratch two separate captive insurance companies. So I tell young lawyers, you know, pay attention to what you're doing, even if it seems boring. It's part of your legal arsenal that you're going to need later as you go through your career.
Oh, that's good advice. That's really good advice. And so, Joy, let me ask you, if and when you're retained, what are your priorities or goals for the next term on the Illinois Supreme Court, and how do you plan to achieve them?
I want to continue to bring the court more out into the community because mm-hmm. many citizens, I won't say most, but many have no idea how the court system functions. They know vaguely that there's a Supreme Court out there somewhere, but what exactly we do, yeah. I think that many people have no idea. So meaning the Supreme Court colleagues and myself, we've started bringing the court out to the community because the newer justices on the court, there are four of us who are new. Mm-hmm. We are very focused on that, and yeah. I do a lot of speaking in schools and in law schools, colleges, even grammar school and high schools. I did a program at St. Ignatius a few weeks ago. I think all of that is important, and I plan to ramp that up. And
oh,
we
goodness.
Have convinced the court that we should start doing what we call ride the circuit more.
Mm-hmm.
That is, take the Supreme Court out and hear cases, hear actual oral arguments in the community. And we did one such circuit visit in November. We brought the court to Chicago State University, which is, you know, in an underserved area. And we got the Cook County Bar Association to work with us and prepare the students by giving them copies of the briefs beforehand. You know, it's all public record, but it helps them to understand what the arguments are about. And we had about 400 students in attendance, and the Bar Association had prepped them about the arguments, and it was really a wonderful experience, and it worked so well. We're doing it again in March at Northern Illinois University. So I plan to continue encouraging and doing that kind of bringing the court out of its comfort zone, so to speak, and bringing it to the people.
I love it. Well, you said earlier that you were planning on ramping up your activities. Joy, I know you and I've seen you, and I have no idea how you can ramp them up any further than you already have. I mean, I saw you at the Equality for Illinois Gala. That's the name of the event I was trying to think of earlier. But if you look at Joy's Instagram, I mean, you're seen with Michael Jordan, Reverend Jesse Jackson. I mean, all these people at these fabulous events. You should follow Joy on Instagram, Joy for Justice, Joy Cunningham, and see. I mean, you are a woman on the move, Joy, and it's really a pleasure to watch you in action and to know you and to know that you would be so good for Illinois. And I want to ask you this question. What do you think are the biggest issues we're going to face in the next 10 years?
I think a continuation of you know, trying to get our arms around gun violence. I really think that that is an issue that's not going away. So I think that is something that we're really going to have to focus on very, very carefully. And, you know, transparency in government. I think those two things are really important. Looking at what happens on the U.S. Supreme Court, for example, all of those kinds of issues with that court undermines the public confidence in court systems all across the country. So I am hopeful that as we move forward, we will have more transparency on the U.S. Supreme Court, which will have an effect of making people continue to feel good about our justice system. I think in Illinois we do, but what happens in one court system splashes on all of us.
Oh, that's good. That's true. Let me ask you a last question.
No. I got the last question.
John's
you
got
go
questions.
Ahead. No,
all
go
right,
ahead.
I'm going to ask you my what
your
one of
last
my last
question. That's right.
Okay, Joy, what do you hope your legacy will be as a member of the Illinois Supreme Court? And I do have another question after this, John, so don't jump in.
Well, I hope that my legacy will continue to be one of making sure that I am careful about remembering why I'm there. I really do want people to know that I'm just one of you, and I'm there doing the work of the people, and just thinking of me as the people's Supreme Court Justice. You know, Candace, when I go to and speak to people, I introduce myself and I say, I am your Supreme Court Justice. And people laugh, but they understand that they accept it and they understand that I really do mean that. So I would like my legacy to be one of, I understood that I was there to represent the people and I am their Supreme Court Justice.
Oh, God, I love that. That's fantastic. Thank you, Joy. All right, John, your turn.
So my thought was, when you talked about your career as a nurse and in the medical field and all that, how, if at all, did that training prepare you for what you do now? Is there any similarities or parallels?
Absolutely. Okay. And I am glad you asked that question.
Oh, sure, smarty pants.
You know, because
I had that on my list of questions.
I was an ICU nurse, so I was a critical care nurse. I took care of very sick people. Yeah. In fact, I worked in the surgical heart unit at St. Francis and I was a night nurse. So what that experience taught me, it taught me patience, really, really important. It taught me patience. It taught me how to listen. Judges often appear to be listening, but they're not. It taught me how to listen. It taught me problem solving. Nurses, especially critical care nurses, you have to solve complex problems quickly that you weren't expecting, and you did that day in, day out. It taught me how to talk with people who are at the lowest ebb in their lives through no fault of their own and often unexpectedly. It taught me how to recognize when people really needed help but couldn't voice what they needed, but you know they needed help. And it really taught me how to look at humanity in a really different way, because nurses are there to help people get better. And all of those are good qualities. In my view, it helped me throughout my judicial career. Patience, listening, problem solving, all of those are qualities that I wish more judges had.
Well said.
Well, Joy Cunningham has my vote. And Joy, all the best to you on your road to the robe. And I'll be watching and I'll be helping. And Joy, by the way, has an amazing team of supporters that are helping her. And so I have no doubt that this is going to be successful for you. And it's just a pleasure to know you. And thanks for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. And John, nice to meet you.
You too,
ma'am. Hopefully we'll see each other in real life at some point. And I am grateful that you've given me an opportunity to talk to your listeners. So thank you,
Absolutely.
Candace.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
All the best.
Enjoy
thank
the
you.
Rest of this beautiful day.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, and you too.
Thanks. Oh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, she's something else.
She is something else.
She is really
She's lived like
special.
9 or 10 lives in one life.
Is that the truth? I mean, she's done it all. I mean, and she's done all things that, like she mentioned, I mean, are such great preparation for this Supreme Court justice role. I mean, I can't think of anybody more qualified than her. So anyway, there's my two cents, and I'm going to share it with everybody, like it or not. So, but
it's your show. You can do what you want.
She's just the best. Joy Cunningham, March 19th. Make sure you vote. So. So, John, what have you been doing since I talked to you last? It feels like an eternity.
It's been a couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't like going so long.
Yeah, I know.
It's
kind of like dry dock a little bit, just kind of pulled into port. Where's Candace at? And, you know, I got to tell you, I get the biggest kick out of the responses that we get to the show on LinkedIn, on Facebook. So, you know, everybody that's been on the show, the people responding, you know, and I tell you this all the time. It is. This show fills a huge void in the Chicago heart. It just really does.
Oh gosh, John, I love you. You always make me feel so nice, and I mean, I just.
It's true. It's easy to do.
Well, it's what we do, and it's, you know, it's what I love to do, and I know you do the same thing in your world, and so you know, I'm just thrilled that we've connected together, because I just think that you are absolutely the perfect person for this, for me, for my friend, and for the show, and for just what we're trying to achieve. So,
listen, I learned a long time ago in this business, you have to have, like she talked about, you have to have the ability to communicate, work with people. And I've known for years, as we've known each other for years, that at some point this would intersect and you would take everything you've done in print and eventually we'd turn you loose behind a friggin' microphone and you better hold on to your lug nuts because it's time for an overall.
Well, listen, we've got, well, let's get right to it then.
Get to it.
We have got, you know, if you, I went to, and I'd mentioned this before on an earlier show that, you know, Israel Adonijé, former Chicago Bear, huge philanthropist, was opening up a new restaurant. It's called Signature Bar and Restaurant, and I talked about it. It's known as a, like an upscale bar, what is it called?
Sports bar.
Sports bar, right, that's what I was looking for. And so he and his partner, Chef Steven Gillanders, finally opened. They had a grand opening party on January 19th. And I'm telling you, it was more fun than a barrel of monkeys. I mean, everybody was there. He had all of his sports buddies there. He had, you know, Jerry Azuma, Rasheed Davis, Jason McKee, and the Lovables were there in force. Lou and Monica Canellis, Sylvia Perez, Ryan Baker, you know.
Sweet Lou Canellis.
Oh, Sweet Lou. And there was just Betsy Shepard, Bob Speck, Kelly Speck. I mean, everybody was there. And it was, and the place was designed by Kehoe Designs, Tom Kehoe, another one of my favorite human beings on the planet. And, I mean, it's really a sexy, sexy bar. It's so sexy. The lighting is dim and it kind of has a bluish cast to it. And, you know, I took a lot of great photos, but fortunately, unfortunately, with the lighting the way it is, you know, it's like at your house, John, you know, that low, sexy lighting that you have. It's kind of hard to get a real good beat on these subjects, but there was a lot of good people there and it was fun. And, you know, let me mention some of the items. You know, this is not your typical sports bar food. He has, it's called Game Day Classics with a gourmet twist. So he had short rib nachos with cherry tomato pico de gallo and roasted chili queso. He had a grilled half chicken with sambal beurre blanc, whatever that is, and some kind of marble potatoes, a spicy sopressata, flatbread. I mean, some of these things, obviously, I can't even pronounce. They're so fancy. But the food was all delicious. And, you know, here's one thing that I really love that I found out. He wanted to make the restaurant an homage to all of the Chicago teams, not just, you know, his Chicago Bears. So there's all these little emblems and symbols that denote other sports teams. Like there's a row of decanters above the bar that's got every single sports team's logo on it. And he's got photos in the men's bathroom of women athletes and photos in the men's bathroom. I mean, in the women's bathroom of men athletes and these suggestive little poses. I mean,
Did you send Chuck in to make a report or what?
No, I didn't even tell him until after
you
we
went
left
in.
The restaurant.
Man, you're something else.
No, I'm just
undercover.
I know, undercover. But and listen to this. This is the highlight. So they brought out a 15-liter bottle of champagne. It's called a Nebuchadnezzar, and it's equivalent to 20 standard bottles. 20! And what you should have seen the size of this thing. And this was really cute. Him and a server, you know, thought they'd casually pull out this cork of this massive bottle, and it wouldn't come out. So there's Izzy, you know, 300 pounds, struggling to pull the cork out. And finally it popped, and then they poured the toast and everything else. But the producer of this champagne is Etienne Douay, and they produce only one bottle is created every few years, and Signature Restaurant had the honor of receiving that one bottle to celebrate this special night.
How did they pull that off?
I don't know, but somebody's connected there, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It was really super cool. So, you know, he's having a big Super Bowl party there. So, I mean, if anybody wants to see this beautiful restaurant in the South Loop, man, go and he'll be there, I'm sure. And so make a pilgrimage there.
Yeah, it's over at 1312 South Wabash.
Thank you, Harry.
I knew it was going to happen at some point today.
Well, and I think we've got a little clip of him on the night of the party, right?
We do. Here we go.
Oh, let's listen. Okay, so this is opening night of Signature. The room is packed. It's a lot of energy here. How do you feel?
I feel great. It's, been a full sprint to get to today. And, you know, we had a vision of bringing something a little vibier here to the South Loop, something a little sexy, some great energy where you could come here for date night to people watch, but also watch the games, right? Watch some of our great sports teams compete. And it's just great to see now the room full and see that vision now, you know, actualized. So.
And how long has this been in the making?
Yeah, we took over the space 4 months ago.
Just four months.
Wow, yeah. That's fast. Right.
And your menu looks great. And I know that you're such a philanthropist, and I know you mentioned in an article somewhere I read that you're going to use this restaurant to do more good. Do you have anything in mind off the top of your head?
Yeah, I think just straight line, we're going to contribute a portion of our revenue to the Impact Fund, which is focused on solving food insecurity, housing insecurity, and bridging the education gap. What the exact that looks like, but I mean, I'm hoping it's hundreds of thousands of dollars through Signature we're able to commit to the work that the communities, the organizations are doing at Impact House to solve those three pieces or of those three challenge areas that we have here in the city. So, you know, through people coming, eating, and drinking, they can do some good as well.
Yeah. Well, with your name on the door, I'm sure you're not going to have any trouble with it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, I'm telling you, not only is he a fabulous businessman, fabulous football player, I mean, but he's just one of the nicest people you'll ever know. And I mean, everything's got a philanthropic angle to it, even his restaurant. I mean, I don't know anybody quite like him in this city. So
no, and you know, I'll tell you what. So, I mean, what a background this guy has. He came from Nigeria to Canada and came to the Canadian football system to play in the NFL. That is rare.
Well, you know, his mother must have been really somebody to teach him so well. And his brother, I met his brother. His brother's just as nice as he is. And I mean, so it's a wonderful, lovely family. And I'm real thrilled to know him, but I'm happy to see his success. Nobody deserves it more.
And you know, when I think of football and I think of football restaurants, of course, I think of Ditka's here in Chicago. It's been here forever. And when I think about Coach Ditka, you know, when he played and the whole thing with the 85 Bears and how that kind of kept him in the vibe here, Israel Adonijay put it, listen, I'm a football guy, so I know what he's done. I mean, I could see a guy like that. It's very expansive what he's talking about and inclusive at the same time. Mm-hmm. So what a presence he can make and a difference he can make with all the work he's doing to help nonprofits and things like that. So I can't wait to go there and see what other kind of liquor they might have.
You know what I'm saying? Full bar there, John. You'll be very happy.
All right.
You know, on another happy sports note, Steve Mongo McMichael finally made it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Bless his heart. Yeah, well, you know, he had a fan campaign behind him that they say has helped thrust him into that upper echelon. But he was deserving anyway. And so I'm just happy to see that he was inducted along with Devin Hester's and Julius Peppers.
Yep.
And, you know, they had all the cameras out at his house. You know, today, billboards have gone up all across Chicagoland.
Oh, great.
Donated by Lamar Billboards saying, you know, congratulations, Mongo. And I mean, it's really, he's got T-shirts, say Team Mongo, that, you know, proceeds will benefit the McMichael family and the ALS, which sadly he has. But what a guy. That's another wonderful guy. And I mean, it's just, there's a lot of good stories in Chicago.
There really, really is. I met him once a few years ago when they unveiled the Walter Payton and George Halas statues at Soldier Field. I've been friends with the Payton family for years, and so they invited me. I was very honored to be there. And afterwards, they had a little soiree. Anytime I get a chance to say soiree, I'm in.
That's, That's all you.
And it is all me. And I walked in and they had the drinks and the whole thing. And I was sitting at a table and all of a sudden this guy walks up and goes, "This seat taken?" And I said, I turned around with Steve McMichael. I wanted to say, "Yeah, I got the whole place. I don't know what you're doing here." I thought that wasn't a good idea.
No, but he sat down.
And Otis Wilson sat down and then Jarrett Payton came over. We had a lot of laughs that day.
Oh, wow.
And not long after that, maybe 6 months or so, maybe not even, is when this whole thing unfolded with him. And so it's been difficult to watch, but, you know, he's Mongo and he's our Mongo, and that's what we're going to do.
That's right. That's exactly right. And Betsy Shepherd, I got to give her a shout out. She was instrumental into this. She has been his publicist for 24 years, and she has done everything his heart's desired. And when he was losing his voice, he asked her, you know, Betsy asked him, she says, what can I do for you, Steve? And he says, Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
So there it is. She fulfilled his dream, and I'm sure hers too. So it's all good. She wants to have a Mongotini soon, she said.
Mongotini?
Yep, we're going to have Mongotini.
Very cool. And I think that Jarrett Payton will be the guy that presents him, like he presented his dad in 1993 at Canton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That will be one moment, boy. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. I love it.
And you know that there are more Bears in the Hall of Fame than any other team? There are.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I'm so proud.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. We're an awesome city. Speaking of awesomeness in the city, how's that segue, huh, John?
Fan-effantastic.
So clever. Well, you know, I went to another press event at Chef Art Smith's Reunion Restaurant at Navy Pier recently, actually on January 30th. And it's they hosted a media event to introduce this new attraction coming to Navy Pier. It's called Flyover. And it's going to be in remember the old IMAX theater that was there? That's where this attraction will be. And according to what they told me and what I know of it, I mean, they didn't have the attraction ready. It doesn't open until March 1st. But I am telling you, it sounds like it's going to be something that Disneyland will be jealous of. I mean, you're going to have a 65-foot spherical.
Easy for you to say. Spherical.
Spherical. And it'll take you on a flight journey through Chicago. And they use drone technology that has never been used before. It has a moving platform where 61 people, their feet will be dangling.
Wow.
And as they go through these different parts of Chicago, scents that are associated with those areas, you'll be able to smell them. There'll be mists. It's a full immersive experience, and I cannot wait to see it. And on this day, they had the creators in like kind of roundtable discussion at Art's Reunion Restaurant, and they had the creative director Rick Rothschild, the COO and executive producer Lisa Adams, film writer and director David Mossop, Rich Daniels, Chicago's own musical guy, he was a music director, and Elliot Wheeler, score composer, and Dr. Walt Whitman, who is the founder and CEO of Soul Children of Chicago. And of all their conversations, they all described a different element of the ride, but I thought Dr. Whitman's comments were especially exciting. So I think we've got a clip of him talking about the ride.
No, I just want to ask you, what was the most fun? I know you've done these in Iceland, Las Vegas. You have them, like, you know, all over the flyover. What was the most fun about doing it for Chicago, and how was it different?
Well, the first thing about Chicago is an extraordinary and unique urban landscape, and our opportunity to come here and work in that urban landscape in comparison to the other places that we have filmed and created these beautiful experiences, which are much more about natural settings and what Mother Nature's created. I think the really unique thing here is it's all about a story about Chicago, which is a people related story, both the culture of Chicago and the place that evolved that Chicagoans built. So I think that's really the unique piece for all of us, the joy that we've all had in discovering, learning, and then hopefully bringing that story and the spirit of Chicago to this experience.
I love that. Do you have plans for other locations?
We always have plans, yes.
Dave, where next? Can you share it?
Endless plans. And no.
Okay. Well, thank you for that information. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, that was not the clip that I was expecting, but this was Rick Rothschild, who's a creative director. I guess I sent the wrong thing to to you, John.
But, it's just a technical glitch.
The technical glitch.
But he was anyway, well said.
Yeah, he was well said, but Walt Whitman was so excited and enthusiastic. I'm going to figure out a way to get that up. But anyway, all of these people, here's what really made me happy, because all of these people said that, and they have locations, this flyover, all over the world, quite frankly, and they said of all their locations, Chicago was by far their favorite. And so Chicago has one of the most beautiful urban landscapes in the world, and certainly in America, Rothschild said. And then somebody else says, it's the most immersive environmental, they want to reveal the soul of Chicago, both of its city and its people. But this is the part that I love the most. David Mossop said, this is so cute. He says, everything is so beautiful here. Even more so is the beauty of its people, their grit, spirit, and integrity. Chicago is just cool. It's cooler than the other cities easily. Chicago is where it's at. People from Chicago are so proud to be Chicagoans. We wanted to find out what makes this place tick. This is the cute part. First off, you guys never give up. Everybody here is so hardcore and has such a can-do attitude. We came here in the dead of winter and people are out in their shorts jogging.
That's it.
It says, there's no problem too big. If the city burns down, you rebuild it. And when the river was polluted, you reversed it. He says, there's magic here in this city, and I think the world can learn a thing or two from you.
That's fantastic. Well, you know what? And he's right.
Yes, he's right. And it really, until he said that, I hadn't even realized that. And I kind of puffed up with pride there. So... Yeah. So
and cool. You know, he's right about the shorts thing. So about a week ago, it was 41 degrees. If it gets over 40, I'm in shorts.
Yes.
And I went outside in shorts.
Oh,
and I went to the restaurant to pick up some food in shorts.
Well, you know, it's a Chicago thing.
It is. And yeah. I'm standing there waiting for the food. And all of a sudden, there's a guy tapping me on the shoulder. He goes, what is this, Palm Springs? I said, it could be. And he goes, hey, if you got him, show him off, right?
Yeah, so there you go. Well, he must not be from Chicago.
Exactly.
I look out my window and everybody at the weather dips below, you know,
yeah, man.
50. They're all in shorts. So
that's
anyway.
Right.
Oh, you should go back and find that guy. anyway, so now there was another fun event. Harry? Harry there?
Uh-oh.
You know, for Groundhog Day, I told you before that I went to Harry Carey's Tavern on Navy Pier, and I didn't really know what to expect. And quite frankly, you know, I was kind of not in the mood to go out. It was in the afternoon. You had to be there at like 3 o'clock. I don't do afternoon things. But, you know, Chuck and I got dressed and we went. And I am telling you, it turned out to be one of the most fun parties I have ever been to. And even Grant DePorter, who is the president CEO of Harry Carey, said, I asked him, I said, so did this turn out the way you expected? And he said, it's 100% what I was hoping for.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, they didn't know if Bill Murray was going to show up, because the event was not only a celebration of Groundhog's Day, but it was also a celebration of life for the passing of Harold Ramis, who was director or creator of, Groundhog Day, the movie. And so Harold Ramis's widow was there. There are so many people. Brian Doyle Murray was there, Bill Murray's brother. You know, the cast was all there except for Andy McDowell. Chris Elliott called in because he couldn't be there. And I mean, Erica read a message from President Obama that said, listen to this. He said, Harold's movies make us laugh, but they do more than that. They encourage us to root for the underdog, to identify with the outsider, and to remember that we're all capable of changing for the better. Isn't that sweet?
That is good. You know, that kind of falls in line with what the guy said. Harold Ramis was a Chicago guy.
Chicago guy, yeah,
Chicago
exactly.
guy, yeah.
And you
that's
know,
how
and
we
on
roll.
Top of yeah, and on top of that, Chicago Alderman Brendan Riley had a petition to declare it Harold Ramis Day in Chicago. And forevermore, February 2nd will be known as Harold Ramis Day.
That's fantastic. I mean, I love all his movies, especially, you know, Stripes, of course. And
so listen to the list of people who were there. Former Governor Pat Quinn was there. Senator Dick Durbin, Alderman Brian Hopkins and Brendan Riley. Rokon, Richard Roper, Marilyn Gardner, who's the president and CEO of Navy Pier. Chaz Ebert. Betsy Shepard, Chuck Jordan, Tom Skilling was there.
Really?
And, here's the thing. They had a bunch of people dressed as Ghostbusters that were taking photos with everybody. And so I asked the guy, I said, you know, this is so cute. I said, you know, how'd you come to be here and everything else? And he says, anybody can hire us, he says, for a donation to the children's hospital.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So I just, I mean, it was just a smile a minute there. And it was just, it was such a wonderfully done event. And after the presentation outside on the backstage, they moved in for a party inside. I mean, it was just, it was a full day of celebration.
You know what I think we should do?
What?
I think we ought to get a hold of Rich Roper. And I think Roper ought to come in and talk about the Oscars.
Oh, my God. Let's do it. Let's do it. When should we do it?
Well, I don't know. I could shoot him an email. You can shoot him an email. But I think that would be a great conversation to see
Me
what
too.
He thinks
Let's
of
do
all
it.
This. Okay.
Let's definitely. Have you seen any of the movies?
No.
Great. We'll have a one-sided conversation.
Yeah, you and Rich talk. I'll take a nap.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Great. I mean, have you seen any? I mean, who goes to the movies anymore?
No, I don't. I just watch Netflix.
Well, that's kind of how it is.
You know, I watch Doc Martin full time with a glass of wine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, other than going out, we have a quiet little life here. Well, on another note, did you know that Chance the Rapper is going to be the first major artist to headline that newly redone Romova Theater?
No.
Yeah, and he's going to be, tickets are on sale now, and it's going to, when is the first performance? It's February 16th. But I think that's pretty cool. He's also one of the owners of this newly
That I did know. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's cool. And then also Common appeared at the Chicago Public Library in a discussion about his book called And Then We Rise, A Guide to Loving and Taking Care of Self, which was fascinating. He's one of the nicest guys. He took pictures with everybody, signed their books. I mean, on and on and on. It was wonderful.
You know, every time you start reporting on this stuff, it goes right back to what Walt Whitman said about the talent in this town and the way we look at things and how we give back. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Is that the Soul Children, Dr. Walt Whitman, or the poet?
Well, I was going to ask you, did the flyover Walt Whitman have a beard like the poet Walt Whitman?
Yeah, no, no, no.
No, I didn't think so.
No, but he's a super nice man. Oh, and did you know that the Soul Children of Chicago are the only national Grammy-winning soul or children choir in America?
Another, I did not know that.
Okay, I think I said that wrong, but you get the importance of it. anyway, okay, well, moving on.
You can tell we're really spiraling out of control here at this point. Somebody get me another Jack and Coke.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I might be overprepared. The Costume Console of the Chicago History Museum will host Hal Rubinstein, who, if you're not familiar with him, he is a huge guy in the world of fashion. He was a founding editor and former fashion director of one of my favorite fashion magazines, In Style Magazine. And he's going to be a featured speaker on March 6th, Wednesday, at the Women's Athletic Club. And he's going to be in discussion with, get this, Fern Malice, who is the creator of New York Fashion Week.
Okay.
Should I save you a front row seat or
Oh,
what?
Sure.
No, but it's going to be, if you love fashion, and I know
and
you
I
love
do.
Fashion,
I do.
Jeff,
you should see what I'm wearing right now. I'm wearing camouflage shorts and a sweatshirt.
And I'm glad I can.
That's right.
Anyway, he's going to discuss his book. He's got a new book out called Dressing the Part, and it identifies the most stylish television shows of the past 70 years. So he'll be talking about, you know, Mary Tyler Moore and her
very cool
pants and, you know, stuff like that. So people will be asking questions. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm also going to interview him so everybody can tell me if you have any questions.
You know, I always sometimes feel like Mr. Rogers. You know, remember Mr. Rogers would wear one sweater to the shop,
yes,
and then he
yes
changed sweaters. So I have a sweater I wear when it's cold out, or it's a hoodie. I don't wear sweaters. I wear hoodies.
Yeah.
And then I walk into my studio and I swap out. I'm going, hi, boys and girls. I'm putting on my new hoodie. You know?
All big right. Hit. So last night, I went to a very moving ceremony at Hotel Intercontinental Chicago on Michigan Avenue. And they did a presentation where they showed their commitment to the LGBTQ plus community by hoisting the first pride flag that will be permanent on Michigan Avenue.
Well, that's very cool.
And it was jam-packed. The general manager is Christopher Cawley, and it's all because of him and his collaboration with my friend Wayne Harth. Tom Kehoe supplied beautiful props for it. Big, big sequined pride letters that people were taking photos in front of. And also the one of the hosts was Mimi Marx, who was the crowned Miss Continental, best female impersonator in the world at one time. And she's even more gorgeous now. So it was, they had cocktails and appetizers, and they had, you know, beautiful speeches, inspiring comments, and it was just a fun, fun night. And kudos to them and for making a safe space for everybody at their hotel and letting people know about it through this. So the flag looks great out
front. Spit it out, kid.
With the City of Chicago flag and their own flag. And so anyway, I wrote about it, and you'll see it in my next blog, but it was really a moving ceremony. And last but not least, you know, Polar Plunge is going to be coming March 3rd. Where are they going to polar plunge?
Exactly. They're going to have to throw ice in the lake.
Yeah, it's going to be like a beach banquet. Look at me. I can't speak, John. I don't know what it is.
Beach blanket bingo? I was going to say.
Exactly.
Chuck, yeah, pour another
one. Yeah, March 3rd, Chicago Polar Plunge will be at North Avenue Beach. And it benefits Special Olympics Chicago. And my friends John and Andrew Landon, the Landon twins, are very heavily involved. And anyway, they're really trying to cause a sensation and get everybody out there to be a part of it. So
yeah.
I hope it works. I hope everybody comes. And I hope it's cold. I mean, what would it be without cold?
Well, yeah, then it's just kind of the temperate plunge, which is less irritating to the nether regions.
Exactly right. Well, you know, and tonight's the World of Chocolate. I told you earlier.
Yes, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, and you called Chuck a cute name. You said he's going to be Arm Candy.
That's right.
And that was very clever, John.
Thank you.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's tonight's event will benefit the AIDS Foundation of Chicago. This is my third year as a judge, and I really love it. A lot of good people.
Didn't they give you a little hat? You have a judge hat or something?
No.
Oh, I thought you said you had a little hat.
I was teasing
you.
Oh. You're so easy to tease.
Yes, but, I am.
So anyway, so what are you doing this weekend?
So not a whole lot, actually. You know, I got to tell you, this is the last, and I'll make this announcement on my podcast tomorrow on a different network. This is the last podcast that I will be doing with you on this computer.
No.
13 years with my trusty, dusty Dell. And my computer guy finally talked me, John, you got to get, you're using up everything. It's a dinosaur like me. And yeah. I get on it. So anyway, we're going back and forth and finally pulled the trigger. And it's I spend more time with this machine than I do with most people, unfortunately.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is the last hurrah. It'll go into mothballs in some corner of my studio with a little light on it or something like that. But yeah, so that's the end of that. And then I got to tell you, you know, I have this big event coming up in March. March 23rd, we'll talk about it again, I'm sure. It's the Bulldog Bash for Schurz High School.
Oh.
And we got all these alumni coming from across the years and across the miles. And the donations that have been coming in for the raffle to, you know, support the efforts of the Bulldog Alumni Association. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, I'll have a guitar delivered that was signed by Grammy Award-winning country singer John Barry. And and you know, we were going to try and find one up here. John's been a friend of mine for a very long time. And I asked him if he could, you know, send a couple of shirts or something, and it continued. And then the conversation came about a guitar, and I thought, well, we can find one up here and I could mail it down and send it. It gets to be involved.
Yeah.
And I kind of let it go. And then the other day his manager, Brian, called and said, hey, guess what, buddy? John is sending a guitar on him. So we're going to put that in the auction. And then this past week, we talked about Steve McMichael. One of his defensive line mates, Mike Hartenstein, played 10, 12 years with the Bears.
Uh-huh.
He sent an autographed picture to put into this auction lot we have that has a Mike Ditka sweater and the Hartenstein thing and footballs and helmets. And so we took a year off last year, and it's really starting to ramp up. And so, you know, it's something we do to give back to the school that gave us so much. And it's just a lot of fun to do it. So I'm kind of getting gigged up for that.
Oh, that is awesome. What great prizes you've got. You do this every year. It seems like you find better and better things.
Yeah, you got to hear this one, though. Yeah. So we started doing Lunch with a Legend about 6 years ago. I've had Jarrett Payton. I had Tom Skilling. Uh-huh. Skilling came to lunch, which is supposed to be an hour. It was 5 hours on climate change, which was fine. Oh. And Jen Weigel's been on, and Eric Soderholm's been there. And last year, Ted Albrecht, or 2 years ago, Ted Albrecht from the Bears came. Guess who's our Lunch with a Legend this year, that if you win this, you get to go to lunch with them and chew the fat literally and figuratively.
Who is that?
Rick Kogan.
No, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so not only that, he says, hey, he goes, the bidding's got to start at least $150. I said, $150? No, $1.50. Okay. We can start the bidding at $1.50. But not only is it lunch, at the Billy Goat.
Oh, my God.
That with Kogan.
Fabulous.
And then be a guest on his Sunday night radio show.
No way.
He offered
that
all this.
Is awesome.
I know.
That,
so he's what
he
a great guy.
He's one in a million. I love him so much. I could faint.
Yeah. Wow, so that was just great. And by the way, the reason I think there was a little leverage, his dad is a graduate of Schur's from 1932.
Oh, my. See how things come together?
It is. It is. So
it's
that's
amazing.
A lot of fun. And it's much like you talk about with all these things going on in the city, you know, Schur's High School has a place in my heart, obviously, because I graduated from there in 19, never mind what year it was. But, you know, it's our chance to give back, and we do things to help kids that we don't even know. And I think that's the whole idea of you being a broad-shouldered city, a brick-and-mortar kids who dig in and do what needs to be done no matter what. So we're really excited about this in March.
Oh, God, that sounds fantastic. Well, we'll talk about this more. And, you know, and if somebody's got some great ideas for your raffle items, you know, who should they look for?
They can find me on Facebook. Send me a note.
Excellent. Okay. Well, that's fabulous. Well, we're busy little bees, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Enjoy your candy.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Good luck to Joy. Joy Cunningham, March 19th. Get out and vote. Thanks for listening. Candid Candace.
Thanks for listening to the Candid Candace podcast. For more of what's going on in Chicago, go to CandidCandace.com.